Blog Talk Radio.
And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full, I traveled each and every highway and more, much more than this. I did it my way. Regrets, I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do, saw it through without exemption. I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway, and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Yes, there were times, I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew. But through it all, when there was doubt, I ate it up and spit it out. I faced it all, and I stood tall, and did it my way. I've loved, I've laughed and cried, I've had my fill, my share of losing, and now, as tears subside, I find it all so.
Welcome, welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I will be your host, Reginald Camper. If you'd like to call in, the number is 602-753-3017. If you're looking on Facebook and if you want to chat or if you want to just get in, it's Open 16 Blog Talk Radio. It's an open platform. I go by the first three of your phone number. Anyone is welcome to call, and I don't tell no one names unless you like your name to be told. So we'll start to show up, and there's no platforms around tables. You can speak about anything. So we'll go to the show. What's up, Dan?
How you doing, Reggie?
You got it. Welcome to the show. Anything on your mind or anything you'd like to talk about today?
Yeah, they're debating down in Springfield about the education funding, which will take away funding from public education. The cardinal is now a politician. He's no longer a priest. He's now a politician. He's now a lobbyist, lobbying for assistance for Catholic schools. So that assistance will come from public school funding. So the inner city schools that don't get funding now, they'll get even less. So this is what they're discussing in Springfield. Hopefully it doesn't pass. So, but it's on the news now. Hopefully the Democrats come to their senses and fully fund public schools without vouchers.
Now, I did see Bruce Brown on TV, and he said he voted against it because he felt that the inner city schools will get more money than the out of state schools. And I don't know really much about it. You know, I went to school in Champaign for a little while, but I don't know much about it. But it seemed like to me there's less students out of state than interstate. So the money should be more responsible to the people interstate than out of state. That's my opinion. What do you think?
Well, Yeah, Rahner thought this bill was too liberal, cutting funding for public education. He thought they didn't cut enough. This is how sick this son of a gun is. This is how sick he is. And Madigan and the teams, the state reps and senators that run unopposed, like on the north side, a bunch of them run unopposed. Mine do, and my neighboring districts run unopposed. So they can do what they want with impunity, knowing they won't get voted out. Well, that may change next year. Next year, 2018, state rep and Senate, state Senate election. So hopefully these people have competition, because they got their feet got to be held to the fire for taking away funding from public education. It's disgusting what's going on. Public education is a right. It has been fully funded before. There's no reason why it can't be fully funded. They're saying, these Republicans are saying, well, there's money in it for the pensions for CPS. That has nothing to do with it. That money is legally bound for CPS pensions. What it has nothing to, it can't be tied to school funding. So they're trying to sugarcoat it. And basically what it is, it's cuts to CPS. There'll be massive layoffs if this goes through.
Wow. Sad to hear. So can you give us an update on anything you heard about the retirees?
Sure. I will be on the ballot. I went down to turn my petitions in today. So I will be on the ballot. Against James Capasso. He's going to be running for about his third or fourth term. He's ran unopposed for probably most of those terms, so this will be his first competition. And I want to thank all the people who signed my petition, and hopefully they can come out to vote, and we'll see what happens. The election's in October.
Now, let me ask you a question. So far, if you don't know, you don't know. It's only two people on the ballot so far?
Well, the nomination's closed. There's only two people running. So if I didn't throw my hat in the ring, if I didn't go out and get a petition signed and have people sign them, he'd run unopposed again. Retirees aren't – they're not in – they either have dementia. I don't know what's wrong with them, but they're not in the game. Their pensions are getting attacked. Our pension fund lost 10.8% last year, and it also – had 2.4% administration fee, which is fine. That's for probably the people that work in pension fund office. I'm all for paying them. They work hard. But they don't include fees and commissions from the financial corporations that invest our money. So that's probably another 10%. So you're talking a 22, 23% loss in 1 year with the loss and with the commissions and fees. And if pensioners don't come out to vote, it's going to continue. So I strongly suggest any pensioner in the LABF Labor's Fund that receives a pension check from them come out to vote October 12th.
Now, let me ask you a question. This James Capasso, is he a laborer, street and sanitation, water department? Do you know anything about him?
The only thing I know about him, they had an article in the Tribune in 2010 along with Will Irving that they're eligible to receive three pensions. So whether he's receiving three, I'm sure he's been retired. He's been retired at least three terms that I know of. So I know he's probably receiving all three pensions. So to me, he doesn't have skin in the game because pension gets cut, the LABF fund. He can go, he's still collecting two other pensions. So it's no skin off his back. My guess is he's not a laborer. How many laborers do you know get three pensions? I don't know any. So he was probably a laborer when he started with the city and became a boss, district superintendent or commissioner or something. No, I mean, there's no laborers that I know that are collecting three pensions, except the ones in the union, the union officials, and
yeah.
I don't think there's any laborers. There's a couple.
What is the job that you will actually be doing if you win this position? What's the job consist of?
They don't tell you. They don't tell you. You're a trustee, whatever that means. You take an oath, you go in there, and I guess they go over business. You know, they review.
So you wouldn't have no knowledge of how to invest the money for the retirees?
I don't know if that's in our job description. I'm sure part of it is. But don't forget, the city has four. The city has a big say in how it's invested. They have four people on the pension board. Then the union has four. One is retired from the labor's pension. One is appointed union. That's Victor Rowe. And then there's another elected with Charles Alverde from a different local, which our local gave up. That was our local trusteeship. But our brain surgeons, Bob Cianelli, gave that away to another local. So now we don't have anyone currently working from Local 101 that can run.
Now, this James Capasso, will he be sitting in the best interest of 1001?
I don't know. All I know is you have to ask yourself. Here's a guy, he's been retired a while, so he's got to be close to 70, unless he retired at 55. Why would you, with three pensions and you're not getting paid, why would you want to do this type of work? You ask yourself this. My only thinking is what is he getting out of it? Now, I'm not accusing him of getting something out of it, but it sure is suspicious. Don't you agree?
Yes, sir. And, you know, it's a beautiful thing that it's going to be a head-up fight, one versus one. And the main goal is how can we get the retirees out to vote? Because we're pretty sure Jane Capasso has friends is going to get his votes out. So how
we know the union has retired superintendents that were superintendent for 4 years. They started out as a laborer, became a superintendent, and their pension is based on that 4 years of superintendent. So they're indebted to not only the union, but their political clout, their alderman who got them that 4 year pension boost, a big boost. So they went from a laborer's pension, which is about, laborers make about $70,000 a year, to a pension based on $120,000, $130,000 a year. That's almost double. That's a good 70% increase in pension. So an average laborer's pension is probably about $5,000. So an average superintendent's pension is probably $8,000 to $9,000. I mean, that's a huge jump. So these guys are indebted. They're going to come out to vote, and they're not going to vote in labor's interest. They never did. These retirees that came out to vote, you saw a lot of them probably voted for the incumbents, the integrity slate. I've seen them in other elections come out, and I know they didn't vote for challengers. So this is what laborers are up against. These superintendents are not your friend on the job. They're definitely not your friend when they retire.
Now, the election will be held at the office?
Yeah, it'll be on the 13th floor, they said, at 321 Clark. And there's very little parking. You might be able to put your hazards on if there's a spot. I don't know if they'll allow you to double park. But I went down there today. Every spot was filled. That was at, mid-morning, though. But I'll probably need some help with guiding people where to park or sitting in their car while they vote. You know what I mean? Have someone sit in their car, double park, while they go up and vote.
Question. Most of the people that's eligible to vote, we can agree, are retired. Retirees are mostly 55 and up. So you're talking elderly people. I have two questions behind this. The first question is, how many of you think elderly people can make it there under the circumstances of driving? A lot of them don't even drive. They're not catching the L. And second question is, even if they do make it there, are they in their right mind as being of how to vote in their best interest?
They probably know little about it other than the newsletter that some of them get and some don't get. Now, I've talked to a lot of retirees. They don't get this newsletter that I get, the one I showed you. And a lot of members don't get
the newsletter you showed me. Can you, me and you talked about it. Can you sum something up within like 5 minutes of because I read it, and from what I read, it seemed like 1001 still have their foot in the door with the retirees' pension. But even though it's messed up on how they invest the money for the retirees, they say it's not our fault. So can you elaborate on the letter you showed me?
Well, I'm sure the union is backing Capasso. He's been in there three terms. I mean, but they're not going to back me because I'm for transparency. So we know that. But yet the union says we have nothing to do with it. Then why do you back an incumbent retiree trustee? Now, other unions like the teachers union, that's open to anybody. I know a guy that's a trustee. He has no political clout. He's just a teacher. He was a teacher. He ran for the position. It's a 2 or 3 year term. And then he'll either step down or run again. But it's open to everyone. They don't try and stack the deck like they do here. See what I'm saying? Now, the union, sure. Do you think the union's going to work hard to make sure I don't get in? These guys are retired. Guys like Skip, they're retired. They have nothing better to do. But the status quo.
Before you mention this James Capasso name, I have never heard of him. Do we have any newsletters out, or do we have an email, a phone number that other retirees can call and ask him his platform?
Nope. The only thing I saw was that paper in 2010, James Capasso's getting three pensions. Will Irving's eligible for three pensions. And that guy, Nicky, from the old regime before the international took over, was eligible for three pensions. So, and when I brought that up on your Blog Talk Radio, you've had your show for a long time. Just one of the union reps, Dave Torres, came out to my truck and challenged me on my conversation with you on the show. He challenged me. He's tried to deny that Will Irving's eligible for three pensions. I go, look in Sunday's Tribune. It'll be there. Take it up with the Tribune. Don't take it up with me. I'm just a laborer. I just work here, and I read the paper. I'm just informing other laborers. So apparently our union, as you know, they don't like laborers to be informed.
Well, you know, one thing I want to say about you, that I believe that you're very knowledgeable. You know the stocks, and you know how to invest money. That's the first thing. Second thing, a lot of retirees that I talk to, and I was explaining the position that you're running for, they don't understand that if whoever wins this position invests the money of retirees in a bad position, it can hurt retirees. Do you agree or do you disagree?
Well, the fund lost 10%. All I can think of, what were the trustees have to change that, don't they? So the trustees hire these same financial firms that are politically connected, Ariel Investments, Northern Trust. You know, there's nothing wrong with being politically connected as long as you're making money for the fund. But when you start losing money, that's all got to stop. When they harass laborers on the job, when they try cutting our cola, the insider financial firms got to end. Now we got to go to a legitimate business because laborers are losing money. So forget all that stuff. For years and years, the pension fund was sound. It was solvent. Nobody cared that insider firms were investing our money as long as the fund kept funds kept increasing. But now the funds are decreasing, and they want to cut your COLA. The mayor wanted to cut the cost of living. He cut our health care. And the labor's lawyer, the labor pension fund lawyer, got up in court, as you heard on Pat's website, and he's been on your show, and said, we do not support the retirees. So this is on the trustees. The trustees can tell the lawyer, we want health care. We want to pay our 8% to the retirees for the health care. We want to chip in. No, they turn their back on retirees. And all I can say is, I'm not a trustee that when that happened. James Capasso was. So take it up with him.
Question. Who are the retirees? And what I mean by who are they sanitation, 1001, water department, 1092? Who are the retirees that will be eligible to vote? And out of the retirees eligible to vote, how many roughly do you think are eligible to vote? What I mean, 2,700, 3,000? Because I believe personally, if I was throwing a dice in Vegas, no more than 100 people, the more in the top 300 would show up to vote. So who are the retirees? How many are eligible to vote? And how many you think maybe will show up to vote?
Well, that newsletter I showed you has it. They have, sure, there's water department people in there. There's retired drivers that are in it because they started out as laborers. So there's several thousand. I'm looking for that newsletter now, Reggie. I just had it. But, yeah, there's several thousand. You know, a lot of people live out of state. A lot of people are, I'm sure, in nursing homes. I talked to a guy who's in the hospital. I mean, these guys are getting older now. They're 70, 80 years old, guys I used to work with. So, and you have their widows. The widows can sign the petition, so I imagine they can vote. Because they're receiving their, spouses, deceased spouses, half of their pension. So they'll be able to vote. But, yeah, I can't find that newsletter now, right now, Rich.
That's not important, but another question. Out of all of this, do you think it benefit Rahm Emanuel and Aldermans for 1001 to control the retirees' pension?
You better believe it. Okay, I found the. I found it. Okay.
You still with me? Hello? Well, we must have a bad hookup, but he'll be back. But what I have learned about retirees, you put your whole life behind of a garbage truck, you work hard, you do everything within the rain, the snow, everything you do, you work hard. And time for you to retire. The worst thing is if somebody tell you all the money is gone. It was a bad investment. We tried to double your money, but it was a bad investment. And if you don't believe that, think about Mayor Daley when his nephew invested a lot of money and it was a fluke. So think about retirees. You got to get up to vote. You got to get out there to vote. Dan, are you still with us?
Yes. Yes, don't forget.
Okay.
This fund okayed the investment for Mayor Daley's nephew. Daley just didn't walk to the fund and withdraw it out of the bank. They okayed it. So a lot of these trustees weren't there then, but the city trustees, no matter who they are, they come and go, like the comptroller and the CFO. But they have the same interest for the city. If they don't care if the fund goes bankrupt, the city trustees, they just want to grab as much money as they can for Rahm Emanuel's projects. You know what I'm saying? He could care less about retirees if their pension funds run out. So the city trustees are supposed to be offset by the union trustees. But as you heard when Ron Robinson, he was complaining about Will Irving once, who failed to vote for something, and the city passed a motion 4-3 because Will Irving he either abstained or didn't
vote. That was Local 76. Local 76, and it was about if I'm not mistaken, far as if you get hurt, the package you would have while you hurt, and he sustained his vote. That made the city win that and then had to go into arbitrary, and arbitrary overruled it, and the union took credit. They won, but they would have never had to spend lawyers if he would have voted.
Right. Okay. Yeah, you're right. You told me about that. See, you know more about that. Your insight as an executive board member. But, here's our condensed statement of changes in fiduciary and deposition. Additions, 2015, we had $14,566 employee contributions. That's by the city. Member contributions, $16,844. Investment income, they lost $22,318,000. So out of that total income by the employer and members, which was about $30 million, with the investment income loss of $22 million, only $9 million net went into the fund. Contributions, they were both about well over $30 million. Investment income, they lost $22 million. So, who decides who invests this money? I imagine it's the trustees. Who else would decide? Isn't that why they have trustees?
So now, I have a question. Now, do you get a copy of all the retirees so you can at least campaign? Do you, send out a mail letter of what you believe and what you want to do?
No.
Do you have a copy of the mail out?
No. That's a great question.
Ahead.
They sent that green card out early August or mid-August. Notice of trustee election. They sent it to all the retirees.
But the question I'm saying to you is, according to election rules, you have the same playing field as your opponent you're running against. So if your opponent already been in office, his name been going on all the flyers to all the retirees with his name on the bottom. So what kind of level of playing field you have that you have an opportunity to get at least a mail out of a letter you can direct to all the retirees and mail it out? It might be at your expense, but you have a right. right to mail out your beliefs.
Well, they send out a, after the election, they sent in their newsletter, they say, like, they'll have this 2015, you know, they'll mention the trustee elections. Here's one. 2016 trustee election. It's on the newsletter. Notice hereby given for one trustee, which was held October 27, has concluded because the candidate, Michael Overty, ran unopposed. So they let you know there's an election and who won it. But as far as, I don't know if the trustees have access to the addresses of all the, you know, I can ask. That's not a bad question to ask. But I don't know if I could afford to mail out notices to every retiree. That would be a lot of money. You know,
right.
It's up to retirees. They got to come. They got to make the effort. I know. A lot of them are disabled, etc. But you got to make the effort if you want change. Change doesn't come, you know, by turning the TV on. It comes by lacing up your shoes and hitting the street. That's how change comes. So, do I see
another,
a big change
another
coming?
Another question to think about is when you do call. Find out, do they have mail-out ballots? Because a lot of people cannot show up. Say if you have a person retiring now, he have diabetes, he had both his legs amputated. He can't make it. So if they have mail-out ballots, that would be a very good plus that they can mail the ballots out.
No, they don't. They have a provisional ballot, but no.
So if there would be no mail-out ballots?
I'm reading the rules now. They gave me a packet of election rules, counting the votes, determination, winner, no compensation for service. Here, this is very interesting. It says, annuitant member trustee position number 24, no compensation for services per 40 ILCS 11-224. No member of the board shall receive any monies from the LABF as salary for service performed or as a member or as an employee of the board. But it doesn't say they can't take gifts from financial firms investing our pension money. So I would think that would be illegal, but it's not in these rules. So it would be up to a lawyer.
Well, you know, the old trick is a golf trip. They'll take a golf trip, somebody will pay for it, and then all of a sudden, you get a room somewhere downtown with champagne and a gift card for so, you know. So, you know, they play that game. Let's detour this conversation a little. I want to ask a little bit more about you. Tell us a little bit about you, who you are, when you started, where you worked at, why you even running for the position, what's your motives, what's your energy level. Let's talk a little bit about you. So who are you?
I'm a retired streets and sanitation laborer, spent 33 years behind a garbage truck. Never was a coordinator, never was a superintendent, never was an inspector, never was an acting coordinator, never was an acting superintendent, never was acting anything. Behind a truck, labor. And I retired in 2014, and that's the year. As soon as I retired, Rahm Emanuel decided to cut the cost of living for retirees, and our pension fund went along with it in court, even though they legally have no opinion, but they didn't argue against the cuts. Let's put it that way. Our lawyer and the union lawyer, the labor's fund lawyer and the union lawyer, got up in court in 2015. This is right out of Tina, who's been on your show. She was a sergeant in arms. She said that her lawyers got up and said, we do not support the retirees. We don't support them. So there was a trustee election in 14, but I never received a notice. I may have run, but we talked about this on your show, and I talked with other retirees. They never received a notice for this trustee election. However, this time the notice was mailed out to me. I hope all the retirees got one. So I decided to run. We need transparency. I've been researching the fund, and the fund, like I said, their newsletter claims they lost 10.8% plus the 2.4 for administration fees, but they don't break down the commissions for the financial firms that invest our money. So that reason I'm running, I want that to become public. I want all the firms to become public. You have to go on the internet and dig deep to get these companies. You can get them, but it's a pain in the butt to sort through all these pages and all these windows to get it. But I got it. There's 30-plus funds. And they go into a they have a little graph, which doesn't make much sense. It's kind of an index fund graph. And they compare their investments to index funds. So it's kind of a account. You need to be an accountant to really understand it. But, no, I decided James Capasso's getting three pensions. You know, I don't think he has our best interests at heart. I know let's just say maybe he does have our best interest, but I have more skin in the game. I'm only getting one pension. Without this pension, if the pension fund goes bankrupt, I'll have to go back to work. Now, Mr. Capasso, if this pension goes insolvent, he has two other pensions to fall back on. So he doesn't have as much skin in the game. That's all I'm saying. I don't know the man personally, but this is why I'm running. We need transparency in this department. Again, the mayor, the way he treated us when he changed over to the grid, I said to myself, once I retire, I'm not going to sit down and let these other guys. The city's not going to get away with what they did to me and other laborers. So I'm going to stand up for laborers, whether they like it or not, for their cause. And this is what I'm doing.
Now, I would like to ask for your permission to burn a CD, conversation, and hand it to retirees. Because a lot of people don't read anymore. A lot of people don't get emails, especially retired. If you retire, you don't really check your emails. So if we burn a CD, I would like to hand it to retirees and ask them, when you're driving in your car, slide the CD in. Because one thing a friend of mine, so I'm not going to say his name, he told me in so many words, it seemed like when you retire, the city take advantage of you, and all the work you gave over 30 years, you lose more money than you gain in the health care and other things. So if the pension and money is invested wrong, that's a loss the retirees have to bite. So I'm giving you your time to say anything you'd like to say as far as what would you do on if you had a chance on investments. Not only that, a buddy of mine that used to work at the department told me investors get a cut if you lose or you win. So if the money is lost, the investors still get a cut. So talk anything. You got 15 minutes or then after that, we're going to wrap it up. But tell me what would you do and tell me about the investing or some of the things you want the money to go to. Give me your vision.
Yeah, the investment companies get a fees and commissions, win or lose, whether they make money or not. When you're investing your own money to get ahead, if you lose, nobody reimburses you. You lose that money. It's out of your pocket. Now, as one trustee, I can't decide who the investment firms are, but I can raise my hand in these meetings and say, look, this Ariel Investments has been one of our investors for years and years, and the CEO of it, Melody Hobson, who's married to George Lucas, that wanted a museum on the lakefront for free. I would just make a suggestion to all the other trustees that we drop this firm. This firm is very greedy. They have no business asking the city for free land when you're investing in our pension fund. And you lost money in our fund. So I would ask all the trustees, or I would do research myself on what their performance was in the last 3, 4, 5 years. And if the performance of each of these, of some of these firms was in the negative for 3 or 4 years, I would say it's time to find somebody new to invest our funds. But as you know how the city works and the union works, it's all about connections and clicks, greasing palms, and doing favors. Look at the union reformers that ran and won 4 years ago. There's not one left that's still a reformer that got reelected. You were the only one. So I'm sure it's the same in the labor's fund. You know, I heard that Charles Alverde's eligible for a second pension. He's a current employee in the other locos. Local 73, you said?
1001, 1092, Local 76.
Okay, 1092. Yeah, 1092. I think he's from 1092. So this is what I would definitely bring up. Outvoted? Probably, but it'll be on record. And if I get in, there will be a new – I will be taking notes at every meeting, and I will be summarizing these notes and distributing it to anyone who wants to know what's going on at these meetings. It's all been a big secret. You know what? They send out a newsletter once every 14 months with nothing in it about the actual meetings of these trustees and how they decide who invests the money. So this has to come out in the open. It has to be transparent. Laborers are losing their pension. They're losing their health care. So they have to know why they're losing it and who's responsible. Now, if I was responsible for losing all that money, you know, Mr. Capasso's been in there about three terms now. He has to take some responsibility for this slide in our assets. He's watching the ship as it's going down. Now, if that was me, I would resign. If I couldn't change these financial firms and the fund kept doing what it's doing, after my three-year term, I wouldn't run again because the powers that be, the city trustees and the connected trustees like Mr. Capasso and Mr. Laverty, don't want change. And when you don't want change, you're not going to get change. So it has to be a will to make this fund survive and not on the backs of retirees by pension cuts. This is their equation for making the fund solvent. Take it out on the annuitants' backs. And I say no. Take it out on the financial firms that are investing our money poorly and have negative returns. Start with that.
Now, two questions, and I hope you listen. We have another caller. We have my big brother, Pat, on. Pat, I'm going to ask this question, then we're going to go to you. Two questions. Dan, you need to call 1001 and ask for a list of the retirees. At least ask, do you have a right to that list? Second, 1092,
okay.
You need to find out, do you have a right to the list of the retirees? Because I know for a fact, because I was on the e-board, they have breakfast at least once a month with the retirees. So that's an edge that they have over you already, because they're already telling the retirees what they believe. So that's something you need to look into. Before you piggyback off what I said, let's welcome Pat to the show. Welcome, Pat.
Thanks, Reg. Go ahead. It sounds interesting already. I missed breakfast up in one of the cranes, huh?
Well, you know what? What it is that me and Danny is talking about, as a fact, if the pension is messed up, the first thing 1001, 1092, and all these other unions are hollering, blame it on the mayor. But this is the person you in bed with. This is the person that you love. So now we have a chance to at least have one of our own on the pension board to invest money to the retirees as a retiree person that worked behind the garbage truck. So, Dan, Pat here, piggyback on anything we said. It's your time.
How you doing, Pat?
Hey, Dan.
So we were just talking about Reggie's asking me what I could do. You know, I'm just one of eight trustees if I get elected. And like you said, the deck is stacked. Because 1001 has a list of retirees, so I'm sure they give to Capasso, or he has a list, and 1092 has a list of retirees. So, but, you know, bottom line, Reggie, it's up to the retirees to vote for their own interests. If they vote for Mr. Capasso and he wins, they voted against their own interests, and the pension fund could go solvent. Now, it still could go solvent, you know, but you've got to vote your own interests. You know, a lot of our city workers voted for Rahm Emanuel in the last election. That blew my mind. I couldn't believe it, but they did, and they voted against their own interests. And when, like Pat says on his site all the time, when are people, employees and retirees, going to wake up? Because it's crunch time now. If the Secretary Treasurer said the fund may go insolvent by 2026, that's pretty scary. But his solution is for pension reform, so annuitants take less money. His solution is not to go to these financial firms and say, look, you cut your fees, you cut your commissions, and if you lose any money next year, you're out. You're off the list. We get a new investor in there. And my feeling is you have to go further. Take a look at their 3, 4, 5-year investments. If they lost money all those years, they're out the door. There's plenty of firms that make money. CalPERS, one of the biggest pension funds in the country, made well over 4% the same year as we lost 11%. So there's something wrong what's going on, you know, with our trustees okaying all these financial firms that are losing our money. There's something wrong with that, and it's got to change. But like I say, the guy's in there now. Mr. Capasso has 3 pensions. If the Labor's Fund goes belly up, he gets 2 other pensions. So he doesn't have skin in the game. I have skin in the game. This is my only pension. If I lose it, I'm going back to work. And so are all of us. So that's where I stand. It's up to retirees, you know, to pick up this green card, get on Pat's site, and say, you know what, I'm fed up with this. Even though I got a walker, I'm going to get a ride down there by come hell or high water, and I'm going to vote. So it's up to the retirees.
And you did miss one of Pat's greatest quotes, and I know it because I love it. When are people going to start wiping their own ass? I'm tired of wiping your ass for you. And when I break that quote down is, you won't know the hurt until your check that was $1,900, now it's $1,300 because your pension had a big loss. So I'm not retired yet. And I'm hoping to get there one day. So I'm going to give the floor to Pat for a little while.
Well, it's all, Dan, did you get everything in okay?
Yeah, I'm on the ballot. It's me and Mr. Capasso, one-on-one.
Good.
He's been about 3 terms. He's our insider. You know, he's probably a great guy. But like I say, I have more skin in the game than he does. I'm not connected on the insider. This is who they want in there. He's run unopposed for several of those terms. And I don't know, he may have run unopposed for all 3 of his terms he was in. He was in a while back, then he took a break, then he came back 3 years later, and he's been in ever since. So, you know, I know he's the guy they want, but this has to change. Retirees have to vote for change if you want change. If you don't want change, your pension fund will probably go insolvent.
You know, what is scary, though, about the whole thing, according to the Supreme Court, they got to pay anyway. The thing that scares me is that if they want, they could change the law. The law that they went into effect, 1970 on the pensions? They could change that law. Right.
But that's only it's only going forward. It's only going forward. Like they created the Tier 3 starts January 1st, 2017 for new state workers and teachers. It's called the Tier 3. And their accrual rate is 1.25%, where our accrual rate was 2.4%. So with a 1.25%.
So they can't touch us. You're saying they can't touch the older retirees.
No. But Ron can try and pull a fast one and say, well, I don't have any money, Your Honor. All right, I need a continuance, Your Honor. I need a continuance. You know, these court cases continue and meanwhile not pay pensions. You know what I'm saying? He could try that.
Right.
It wouldn't surprise me if he did. But, again, our Secretary of Treasury, Victor Roa, who ran on a reform ticket 4 years ago, is no longer a reformer. He put out this newsletter in 2015 saying, without pension reform, LABF will not survive. So what does pension reform mean? It means annuitants must take a pay cut. He says the biggest problem LABF faces is that contributions are not sufficient to support the benefits it currently pays. So that's his take on it. My take on it is these financial institutions that invest our money must cut their fees, must cut their commissions, and must be booted out the door if they don't perform, period. We have some of these firms like Northern Trust and Ariel Investments. They've been investing in the fund since I started back in 1982. So that's a long time. That's a too cozy of a relationship. If they're performing, great. I have no problem. But you know what? They're not performing now. So they got to go.
Well, forget what you're up against there. Everybody is either, well, everybody belongs to Rob, okay? And the thing is, you got four people from the union that are supposed to be on our fucking side. Our fucking side, not his. And then you look the other way, and they're on his side. And then you got the four suits in City Hall. So that's eight people against us. That's a crack of shit.
I agree.
I mean,
I
nobody
totally
could
agree.
Ever have a chance with anything.
I totally agree. And this is Rahm's quote. He was just on TV. Competition is good for every department. Well, competition should be good for financial investing. You shouldn't have a firm that has a lock on a 30-year investment with our fund if they're not performing. We need competition in the fund investment also. But he won't address that. He won't address that.
Yeah.
All he does is want to cut. He wants his buddies to get their percentage. Well, here at the end of the year, our pension fund at the end of 2015 had $1,238,658,000. Now, a financial institution gets a percentage of commission and fees. Usually, I don't know how many percent, but probably anywhere from 1 to 10%, depending on, you know, the type of investment. So let's just say they get 5%. That may be an understatement. So what's 5% of $1.2 billion? That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
So they can lower their fees and commissions to, you know, to help us out, since the Secretary of Treasury says we'll be insolvent. He should have been on the first guy on the phone calling these investment firms, since he's a trustee and he's the president of the board. So he should have been on the phone in 2015 saying, you got to cut your fees and commissions. You have to cut them. So in the meantime, when this newsletter came out, Emmanuel has by law contributed more to our pension fund. And he's also going to have the cell phone tax go to the labor's pension fund, but it's still going to be underfunded, but it's going to be better funded. Right now, as of 15, it was 53% funded in 15, and it was 64% funded in 14. That's a huge drop in 1 year by our labor's fund. That's a huge drop. But why did that drop like that? You know, I know the income, the employee contributions, like it went over with Reggie, the employer contributions and the member contributions were $31 million. The investment income lost $22 million at that $31 million. So the net investment contribution was only $9 million. So it's not the members' fault. It's the investment income went down $22 million. That's great. That's,
you know,
that's almost,
and
that's two-thirds
of what the employees, city employees are government employees, you could say just about. And we don't have the feds looking out after us for this here shit. But yet when Daley snapped his fingers to throw the old guys out, the old crew out, that always had our backs, that always had our money invested. We had no sweat about anything. They talked to you like a human being. They tossed them out instantly to put people
right.
like this in. I mean,
yep.
It's sickening.
Oh, yeah. Where are the feds now?
Yeah.
Like you say.
Exactly.
The federal prosecution's controlled by the president and our mayor. I totally believe that. I totally believe it.
Now, you got all these here people, not to change the subject, but in the Sun-Times, did you see all the people that want to run against him or that might run against him? Those are all his people. I mean, who are they bullshitting?
Well, yeah,
and Chuy Garcia needs to just sit back. Troy supported him through the whole thing, in part lost his job because of it, and now he's willing to go up against him. And that's all Tutu's trying to do is to split the vote every which way. I mean, that's a bunch of bullshit. You know, everybody needs to get together and say, you know, this is enough. The Sun-Times even had it in there again today about another tax increase. But everybody's crying about the soda pop. Not one word was said. I purposely didn't put it on the site because I wanted to see if anybody was going to say anything. Nobody even paid attention to it. They're worried about their soda pop.
I know. It's, well, as the campaign goes on, his buddies will be weeded out. You know, the press and these citizens will, get more educated as the campaign draws to a close, and who these friends of his that are running are and what they're about. And they'll just, they won't have a chance. But he still needs 50.1% of the total vote, and he's not going to get it. So by the more people that run, the less chance he has to get that 50%. So he'll be in another run.
Right.
So
right.
If that's what he wants to spend more money, fine. He'll just get his buddy Ken Griffin and Rahner to donate to his campaign fund. And try,
you know, that would be the biggest, that would be the biggest laugh if he blows $20-25 million on trying to get elected, and the people of Chicago with nothing say, "No, we had enough of your bullshit. Get out of here."
Well, last
that
election,
would be beautiful.
He gave $25 million to about 10 aldermen, $25 million, and only half of them got elected. So, to me, that's kind of a failure. So half his people, if bad, lost. So that's a huge blow, and I hope it happens again. Kowtowing to the so we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. People are on to him, and I just hope this Laquan McDonald comes back right during his campaign, and people focus on that and how he handled it. That'll be the
Handle it. There's no way in the world he didn't know about it. Daly was the same way. Anything that happened, you better let him know. And if it's something that was really dirty or bad where he could be implicated, it went through steps to cover it up so it can't be traced that he knew anything about it. I mean, that's how they play these games. I know these games they play, and that's exactly what they do. That man knew within 5 to 10 minutes after the shooting what had happened. And to shoot a kid 16 times, and he wasn't even going towards them. He was angling off to the right, away from them. All right, he had a knife in one of his hands. They couldn't taser him. Nobody had a taser or anything. All the tapes that are still missing and everything. I mean, come on. It's a big cover-up. Just like Daly with that kid, with his nephew. His nephew killed that kid. 60 days for killing somebody? I mean, come on. It's a joke.
Yeah, it was if they came forward right away, the kid would have got no time. You know, it was a bar fight. He was a bully. He sucker punched a kid that weighed 150 pounds. You know, a typical coward. That's what a coward does in a fight. They sucker punch you. And the kid's head hit the curb. He died. Now, his nephew would have came forward and said, "Hey, I sucker punched him. I'm an idiot for doing it. I'm sorry." That'd be the stand-up thing to do. But no, he hid and ran. Daly covered it up. And you know what happened? And then they lost files. The detectives lost the files over in Belmont. Somebody found
them. Yeah, they took them home. They even took them home, the files.
Yeah. So,
I mean,
I give the kid's mother credit for pushing the subject through, even though her son was dead. She didn't have to do that. She stood up and did it to make a statement. So I credit her, because it's easier just to let it go. You know, she had to relive all that pain again.
Hey, Dan, let me say this. You got to remember one thing. Alcohol was involved. So technically, if he hit that kid while he was on the floors of alcohol, they could have used that against him. You know? So they kind of gave him a break to let him go home and sober up and give his side of the story. You know? So that's something to think about.
I think that's a better excuse if you say, "Look, I'm drunk. I did a stupid thing. I did stupid things in my 20s. And that, you know, they just didn't turn out that bad. They weren't as serious. But everyone does stupid stuff, but you just got to own up to it. You can't run away from it because you're the mayor's nephew." I mean, he's got to live with that the rest of his life, how he tried to cover that up. And is that the same nephew that got our pension fund money to invest in real estate?
No, this is he had another nephew. That was another one. That's not the one.
Okay. Well, anyhow, let's back to this.
That was our city doctor's kid, wasn't it? The Daly that not the Daly. One of the woman married the doctor, the city doctor. that used to measure your scars when you got hurt and all that.
Really? I forgot
his name. Yeah.
You know
what?
Hey, Tad, since you threw that in the game, let me say this. Dan, I'm going right to you after I say this. I shouldn't be saying this, but I'm going to say it because that's who I am. I went to the doctor. And, you know, it's funny that Tad brought this up because I'm going to throw it out there. I was supposed to have a spine surgery. But the doctor told me, well, on your paperwork, it said you injured your back, not your spine. Well, I said, well, I told the guy when I went to Mercy Work that it hurted me from my neck all the way down. I'm not a doctor. So my point to what Pat's saying is I recommend for anybody to get hurt, say my whole body hurt. Say my whole body hurt, but you can start here. And I'm saying that because if they refuse my surgery on my spine, it shows you how crooked the city is to try to get out of paying their bill. I'm going to go back to you, Pat, and then go to Dan.
Yeah, there's a big difference. I'll tell you what. When I got on Medicare, Reg, Dan, you get your bills in the mail, and every one of these bills are paid for in full. And you're only paying maybe a third of the price of your regular insurance that it was costing you. When I got my eye surgery, cataracts, with Blue Cross Blue Shield, They made me pay an extra $1,000 if I wanted an eye lens where I didn't need glasses. Well, I never wore glasses in my life. It didn't matter. You got to pay extra money. I'm like, no, forget it. I says, this is crazy, all this here shit. I mean, it just keeps going and going and going. But this Medicare, the government, they tell these people, hey, you pay them. I got the assistance for a certain expensive pill. I mean, it's very expensive. And they're helping me out on that. Otherwise, I would have just sat there because I told the doctor right out. I says, you know what? 18 years in the alley. I picked up so many cans. And I'm not about to leave my wife with nothing because I'm taking pills that I don't know if it's going to work or not. I said, I'd rather just die. And she looked at me. She goes, you're serious, aren't you? I go, yeah, I am serious. I said, it's a dirty shame. Every person in this country should be entitled to the same amount of health insurance, no matter if you got 20 cents in your pocket or if you got $1 million. Everybody should be treated equal. That's what the United States of America is supposed to be, equal. But it's not equal. You got all that other shit jumping off. I mean, we're a disgrace. I mean, people in the other countries, they're laughing at us. Then you got this idiot tutu running around like a little ballerina, Sanctuary City, this and that. You know, I mean, it keeps making us look worse. And the other guy, there's something wrong with him, the head guy. I mean, there's something really wrong with him. I like some of the things he said, you know, like when he said he was going to go after Tutu and all that. That all turned out to be bullshit, too. So they're all in the same boat. The one percenters control the country, and they're gonna get a class warfare. So help me God, it'll happen sooner than later.
Dan, you want to jump in? And, Dan, remember this. Let people know the election time, election place, you run it because we run it short for time, so give a sound bite on that. You are running, and then tune in on what Pat's talking about.
Okay, the retiree trustee election is down at 321 North Clark at the LABF Fund. So there's no parking. You might have to double park and run up or get a ride, or short-term parking in a garage is like $8 for the first half hour or something like that, or park in illegal zone for 5 minutes and walk up, and you should, you know, I don't think you'll get a ticket. But a qualified employee annuitant who's receiving a retirement annuity is eligible to vote, and the surviving spouses are eligible to vote. So, Pat, I know you've talked about it on your site with all these retirees. We're talking about the health care. This is for this, and the city, as you know, the court said we don't support our laborers' fund lawyer got up in court and said we don't support the injuries. It went up to the court case a couple weeks ago. The laborers' lawyer, our pension fund lawyer, was on the side of the city. They weren't on the side of the annuitants of Chris Krizlov. They were on the side of the city stripping our annuitants. It's time to wake up and get up and vote.
Yeah, just the information, and then, you know, I'll get on it, you know, like every couple of days. You don't want to flood it every day because the people will get, you know, tired of seeing it. But just write up some kind of information on it, and then I'll copy it, and I'll add my own stuff to it. But they gotta realize it, especially the retirees. I mean, if it wasn't for the few guys like Underwood is a retired police officer that went through hell on the job and everything, and he's the one that started the lawsuit. And that man just says, you know what, the hell with this, I'm suing your ass. And he goes back on this. And then everybody else jumped in. I mean, we got friends like you wouldn't believe. But then when it comes down to the people that actually matter, that are getting hurt by all this, they don't want to be bothered. Well, it's your money. It's your kids' money. It's your grandkids' money. What the fuck do you need? A building to fall down on your head?
Well, I talked to retirees who I got signatures from, and they're – I might arrange to write for them. I got to be down
there. Hey, Dan, start your sub to go because you went dead for a minute. Start it again. You talked to retirees, okay. And what happened?
Some of the retirees assigned my petition are semi-disabled. They're going to need help getting down there, like a ride, because they don't drive anymore or they're too sick to drive. And I'll be down there observing the election 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. So if anyone wants to give some of these people a ride, they greatly appreciate it. So, maybe they can get a ride from their own one of their relatives. But I'm sure some want to vote. I talked to one. He wants to vote right now. He's in the hospital and he can't talk. But he told me, hey, if I get a ride down there, I'll vote. Someone give me a ride. That's what I can do. So I'll need some volunteers to get a ride. I used to work with.
All right.
You know, a couple of them said they would. This is where we're at.
I'm going to donate my time, Dan, but I'll stay on foot with you while we're handing our flyers in front. I do know for a fact you're going to have a situation that a lot of retirees are not going to catch the L down there. The union, I would love to find out, do they have a right, unions, to bring people down there in union cars to vote and take them back in union cars, because that's an advantage they shouldn't have, because, you know, you don't have that advantage. So I will be there. So I'm giving you my full support, and we're running low in time. Take 5 minutes. Pat, take five, and anything you'd like to say, but I want to say something to the retirees. During the election, me and Dan disagree on this. During the election, I looked around. There was a lot of retirees, and I kept asking them things. And to me, they are brainwashed with 1001 with the breakfast. 1001 give them a breakfast once a month. They have a breakfast somewhere. And they're willing to sell their soul out for some eggs, some bacon, and a little bit of whatever they get in some tea once a month. And it's so sickening. So that's my opinion. Me and Dan disagree on this, so that's my opinion. Dan, 5 minutes, and then we go to Pat for five.
Again, why is unity offering so bad?
You're breaking up, Dan.
The union is offering some retirees breakfast and not other retirees breakfast. This is not fair. I'm going to call the international on that. And as far as the union cars transporting labor annuitants, I'll call the Dirksen Federal Building and ask them if that's legal. If it's legal, there's nothing I can do about it. If it's not legal, then they got to do something. So I'll work on that now. And by the election, I should get a response because they don't answer your emails right away. So It's up to people. If they want their pension to continue, like for their kids and grandkids, then they'll come out to vote and vote for me because I have their interests. I don't get three pensions like Mr. Capasso. So if I get in, there will be newsletters each month, my new show, discuss what happened, et cetera, et cetera. The veil, the curtain will be lifted. Anyone that wants to know what goes on in there will know if I'm elected.
I'm going to go to Pat. And before I introduce Pat, Dan, after I go to Pat, I'm going to come back to you. I'm going to let you close us out for 2 minutes. But I'm going to go to Pat, and I'm going to say this to Pat before he jumped in. It's sad that we have somebody that worked their whole life for the city of Chicago, and then when he needs them, they're willing to fight them on every battle. And what we need now is free medical retirees. No closed question asked. Free medical. And the reason I said, because I got 6 more years, and I'm going to be right with Pat. They're already talking about taking my spine and doing other things. So how many surgeries do you think I'm going to need? We need free medical. So I'm going to go to Pat, and after Pat, we'll go back to Dan, and we'll close it out.
Yeah, that spot for the election too. They know exactly what they're doing. You're gonna have, if you're gonna drive down there, you're gonna have to pay what, $10 or $20 to park in one of the garages. I mean, you can't park out on the street. They'll mail you. They knew exactly what they're doing. What, that training center, isn't that on Homer? I mean, they can't hold it there where people could get to it. I mean, it's just ridiculous. They know exactly what they're doing with all this here shit. That's how sly they are. And then if computers are being used, Dan, look out. You know, the computer will break down.
According to them, it's a ballot. I think it's paper ballot because they have provisional ballots, in which they don't use very many of those because they go, you get a signature each year from the annuitant. That's notarized. Why would we need provisional ballots? Well, she said,
no.
Some of the annuitants owed money to the fund or something. You know, before they retired, they didn't pay or something, so they're not eligible to vote, and they fill out a provisional. You know how you go on DD and you take money out of the fund, but you don't repay it and you retire, so you're not an eligible annuitant. So each candidate may appoint one person to act as a watcher during the election process. Watcher's name must be submitted to the executive director no later than October 5th. Okay. I'll submit that. And it's basically like a regular election day. There's no electioneering inside of 300 feet. And
but the watcher has to be a retiree, don't it?
Pardon?
The watcher have to be a retiree?
No. It just says a watcher. Each candidate may appoint one person to act as a watcher during the election process. In order for a candidate to have an election watcher, an election watcher's name must be submitted to the executive director no later than October 5th. So I'll do that. And cast
the I'm going to dedicate that whole day to you. So whatever you need me for, you get me for the whole day.
Okay, participants requesting a ballot. So they're requesting a ballot, which means... it's probably paper.
So I totally agree.
It has to be a photo ID, valid driver's license, or state ID, etc. So I believe it's paper, but I'll find out as time goes on. I'll call them. And also, there's a code of conduct. It also says here something that a candidate can be disqualified for violating code of conduct, which is no, refrain from personal attacks, bullying, etc. No electioneering allowed within 300 feet of the entrance. Let's see, eligible, blah, 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 voting procedure. Participants requesting a ballot must identify themselves with a driver's license. Each ballot shall be initialed by election judge before the ballot is given to the voter. And eligible voters may cast one select one candidate on the ballot, insert the ballot into the locked ballot. So only votes cast on the official ballot will be counted, so there's no mail-in. It's pretty straightforward.
Who does the counting, Dan?
They have three election judges, and I asked them, who are they? They said they're employees of the pension fund. It's probably office workers, you know, that work there. I would imagine. But anyhow,
it's called backup insurance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Well, worthwhile is usually hard. You know what I mean? Anything in life that's worthwhile usually takes a lot of effort. So hopefully, you know, Newton's come out to vote. If they got the new letter, they saw we lost 11% plus fees and commissions plus administrative fees. You're talking over 20%, close to 20% in 1 year. That's outrageous.
But do you know what, Dan? What's good about it is it's a one-on-one fight. It's you versus the person that hasn't been doing nothing. So if a person votes for somebody that hasn't been doing nothing, and then, you know, that's on them.
Exactly. It's just like our union election. We knew these guys serving in our best interest, and they got reelected somehow. But I still think the votes were flipped on the voting machines. But this will be paper ballot, so there's no vote flipping. It will be counted in front of people. So, you know, I think it will be a pretty straightforward election. It's get people to come out. You know, the union will have, like I told you before, this is the only union and pension board I've ever seen that wants only their people in. Like I said, the teachers, retirees, I know a trustee on there. He just ran. He's a teacher. They encourage people to run and get involved, and he won a 3-year term. Now here, they put roadblocks in front of you. See what I mean? They don't want an outsider in there. That's basically what it is. Good for everybody. I think it'll be good for the fund. It'll be good for everybody. So I'm gonna say this
because we're running out of time. I'm proud of you. I would like to burn this CD and start handing it out to retirees. Because our next goal is to motivate retirees to show up. And the only thing we can do is go to a retiree and say, hey, if you need a ride, I'll make that risk and all of us meet up at a certain time and we'll do a van haul down, a van haul back. But I'm willing to give my time. And if you allow me, with your permission, to burn a CD, I would love to burn this whole session of what we just talked about at the CD to hand out to retirees. Let them know what you believe and everything that's going on. Is that okay with you?
Sure is. Go ahead. That'd be great.
All right. Second thing, I think that we got to October. So until October, we need to come up with a plan. Maybe once a month, or if you'd like to keep talking about it, just come back because a lot of people don't understand the pension and what it is. They think they get their checks from God. The check comes straight from heaven to them, and it don't work that way. So the show is running down. I'm not gonna rat about it, but I'm glad that Pat made it back. And Pat, my prayers are still with you because I'm going through things myself. Dan, we need you in office. We need somebody that we know we can trust. So I'm gonna give everybody 2 minutes, and then we're gonna wrap up. I'm gonna go with Pat first. And then I'm going to go with Dan, then we'll close out. Go ahead, Pat.
Well, just a few quick words. I'm very proud of both of you.
That's all you're going to say, Pat?
That's all I need to say. That's all I need to say.
You did like,
I'm very proud of both of you. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here with you.
Hey, look, I'm sitting there waiting. You did like Devil Comedy Jam. Good job. Come on, you know, I love Pat, and I'm glad Pat's okay. And Pat's a motivation because I was offered some money, and I could have took it. But listen to Pat and Dan, I would never take it. So I love you, Pat.
I won't take their breakfast either because I can't eat any of that shit anymore.
But you know what, Pat? I thought about it, you know, because I dream about it. I thought about it. I said, the worst thing in the world to be a slave over money. The worst thing in the world to be a slave to somebody to tell you to do what they want you to do. If you don't do it, they could destroy your career. I don't want to be a slave. I'd rather be a free man to say what I want to say, when I want to say it, and how I want to say it. So I thank you for giving me that of saying money is not everything. And I appreciate that.
Amen.
I'm going to go to Dan the Man. You got 2 minutes, and then we're going to wrap it up.
Well, Pat, thank you for maintaining that site. A lot of annuitants go on there. They may not post anything, but I know they're watching. And you're an inspiration, you and Reggie, to me. And I think we feed off each other, but we need more people involved. Anyhow, to all you annuitants that are listening or that will be listening, our fund lost 11% in 2015. Every other major fund, bigger fund in the country made money. So you ask yourself, why did we lose money? Well, we have financial firms that are connected positions who run our fund. The employer and the member contributions were well over $31 million. The investment income lost by these financial firms was $22 million, leaving a net gain of only $9 million in contributions. Yet our recording secretary, the president of the board and a trustee, says, without pension reform, we will not survive. He didn't say without investment reform, we will not survive. He said without pension reform, we will not survive, which means we have to cut annuitants' pensions. I say no. I say that's why I'm running against Jim Capasso. He's part of the status quo, I believe. And this will change. If I get in there, I'm going to suggest we change all these investment firms that are losing money. We get firms that make money. This is how a fund stays solvent. So with that, Reggie, I thank you for having me on the show. And, of course, we'll be talking to each other.
Hey, I'm going to say this as close. I hope you don't get upset at me because I talk too much. But I had a vision. Me and Dan met up over the weekend, and we was having lunch. And while we was having lunch, I had a vision because I'm an African-American dancer, a European, and we went to a Korean environment. And something told me it's not race. It's not religion. It's only love. It's love and people. But we are so stuck on money, which is green, that we don't care about love or religion or race. It's about my money now. And while we was talking, I was listening to all the things that me and Dan was talking about, and I was looking around the room, and all I could feel was love in the area that I was in. And I kept saying to myself, why unions can't be like this? Why we just can't love each other to make everything better about us? And I don't understand it. But I want to say one thing. I appreciate that time I spent with you, Dan. I appreciate the lunch that we had together. And all I want to say to the members that listen to right now, without us loving each other, we are doomed to fail. We are doomed to fail because city of Chicago love green money. So you're doomed to fail. If anybody want to piggyback 1 minute, because I set the show up for 2 hours, I knew it was going to be a good one. Anybody want to piggyback real quick before I leave?
Well, there's another thing I felt in the room. It's called greed. That's why we were having lunch, because of the greedy people running our union and the greedy insiders that invest our pension fund money that are associated with City Hall and give campaign donations to politicians. This is if it was just if everyone worked together, we wouldn't have to do that. But as long as you have greed, where some members are getting screwed and other members aren't, you're going to have a differential. Like I was saying earlier, a lot of these guys that will come out to vote were superintendents that made 100, 120 grand a year. After a career of laboring, their last 4 years, they became a supervisor where their pension increased by a good 30, 40%. So they feel they owe their politicians and the union that vote of status quo. Even though the pension fund is losing their money, they don't see that. They see loyalty to the guys that got them that 40% increase in their pension. But a 40% increase minus some bad investments. When it goes insolvent, you'll have nothing. You know, you'll probably get a third of what you're entitled to. Then they'll wake up, but by then it'll be too late. So I say to all these superintendents, they're collecting a nice pension. You don't owe them anything. You worked for that, just like I worked for my money. And I'm working to protect your interests as well as mine going forward. So please vote for someone that's going to be transparent. Don't vote for the status quo. Even though you feel you owe that to them, you really don't.
Pat, you want to say anything before we go?
I'm proud of both of you.
hey, Pat, I love you. And you go home. If you already at home, tell your wife and tell her she was a great guy. Dan, I'm going to play the last song. I know you don't usually, you know, like the music too much part, but I like this song because when I heard this song, Pat loved it too. Sometimes we give our whole life to something and we question, did I do the right thing? Because I would love to have a lot of money, $100,000, $1,000 every meeting, $750 a meeting, and take my wife out of town. But the question is, how much damage did I do to my fellow person that was next to me? I can't live with that. And you know me, Dan, I can't live with that. When me and you were sitting at the table, my wife had a beautiful time. And the first thing she said to me, she said, wow, Dan got a spirit of a light around him. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's white. She's like, no, I mean that. It's like a light around him. I don't know what you're doing, Dan, but you're doing it good. Because my wife, she don't get cool with everybody. So, you know, I understand what you're doing, Dan. I hope you win. You're fighting a hell of a war. And believe me,
hey,
I lost in 10 years.
Reggie,
go ahead.
Reggie, maybe she meant the lights are on, but nobody's home.
No, you know, my wife, she can feel people out. And it's something about you, Dan. And you know what? You are a person that's fighting, and I appreciate that. We got 36 minutes, but I'm going to play this, and I'm going to close it out. But if anybody want to say anything before I play the last song, and you know what that song is, anybody want to say anything?
I'm proud of both of you. I'm proud of both of you.
Dan?
All right, we'll see you next week.
All right, here's my closing song. I love you guys. Peace.
And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full, I traveled each and every highway and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Regrets, I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do, saw it through without exemption. I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway, more, much more than this, I did it my way. Yes, there were times, I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew, but through it all, when there was dark, I faced it all, and I stood tall. laughed and cried. I've had my fill, my share of losing, and now as tears subside, I find it all so amusing to think I did all that. And may I say, not in a shy way, oh no, not me. I did it my way. For what is a man? What has he got? If not himself, then he has not to say the things he truly feels, and not the words of one who kneels. The record shows I took the blows and did it my way.
I want to say thank you once again, and I'm dedicating this to Pasquale and everything that he have done for this show. And we did it our way. Pasquale, thank you for coming.
Take care, little bro.
All right, peace.